الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله وازواجه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي رضي الله تعالى والله لان يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. My dear brothers and respected elders, I have recited a small surah of the Quran. It is a small surah, but it's so compact and so all-comprehensive that a great scholar of Islam, Imam Shafi rahmatullah, has said regarding the surah that if there was no other surah in the Quran, then if there were no other verses of the Quran, it would have been sufficient for the hidayat of mankind. The surah, very briefly, a little translation, simple translation, Wal-Asr, where Allah Ta'ala takes the oath, qasam of time, time, history, bears witness, bears testimony, to the fact that innal insana lafi khusr, all of mankind is at a loss, all. Except those who have four qualities. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those who have iman, do good deeds, عَمَلِ صَالِحَة, good actions, invite one another towards good, and invite one another towards sabr, patience. This is a brief translation, just a little translation of this. And my intention is not to give the tafsir, the commentary, and to go into much detail. When Allah Ta'ala says, Wal-Asr, when He takes a qasam, He takes an oath, it is to emphasize a point after that. That the statement that's going to come is a very fundamental, basic statement, and very, very important statement that's going to be made after this. When you take a qasam, when you're talking to your friend, then it's to impress your friend that, look, I'm not speaking lies, I'm speaking the truth. But in a question of, in Allah's words, وَمَنْ أَسْتَقَ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَسْتَقَ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Whose words are truer than Allah? Allah's words are haqq. There is no question or trace of untruth there. So when Allah takes a qasam, it means there's a fundamental statement to come after that. All of mankind is at a loss. All. No exceptions. All of mankind. Irrespective of your color, creed, race, your language, the country of origin, your status in society, all. Except those who have these four qualities. Iman. My dear brothers, Iman, there's one which is Iman-e-Matloob, and one is Iman-e-Mawjood. The Iman that is required by Allah Ta'ala, that is Iman-e-Matloob, strong Iman. And what we have with us is Iman-e-Mawjood, the Iman that is with us. My dear brothers, Alhamdulillah ala ni'mati al-Iman, we do have Iman, no doubt. But our Iman is weak. Example of weak Iman and strong Iman, my dear brothers, our Iman is like 1 rand, and the Iman, the strong Iman of the Sahaba, Kiram radiallahu ajma'in, is like 1 million rand. We know the difference. Yes, we know the difference between the two. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding of the difference between our weak Iman and the strong Iman of the Sahaba. Our Iman is weak. Iman is supposed to be a motivating force that pushes you towards the right and stops you from the wrong. What is the position today? We have Iman, Alhamdulillah. But There might be 1,000 things we're supposed to do, we're not doing. There might be 1,000 things we're not supposed to do, we are doing. Which means, we have iman, but our iman is weak. Iman is not that driving force which is driving us towards the fara'id, wajibat, sunan, what the requirements, the commandments of Allah, teaching of Rasulullah. And iman is not that driving force which takes us away from the haram, wajib, makruh, haram, makruh, etc. Iman is weak. We have to make an effort on that iman. My dear brothers, it is for this reason that we stress that we should develop the iman, strengthen the iman. There are various ways of strengthening the iman, my dear brothers, in this zamana. The most, the easiest, quickest, most effective way, as has been experienced by thousands of people across the board, from all parts of the world, from all sections of society, is when people go 4 months in the path of Allah Ta'ala. When a person goes 4 months with the Tabligh Jamaat in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he is on that road to strengthening his iman. And my dear brothers, there is no guarantee after 4 months. No. The elders overseas in India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, they don't give any certificate when a person comes back from 4 months to say now this person is an alim or is a buzruk or is a saint or something. Nothing. No guarantees. They say he is on the road towards iman. He has strengthened his iman a little bit. Made an effort. He has just changed direction a little bit. Now, if after that, when he comes back home, back to his job, business, whatever it is, and then if he carries on that road by spending 40 days a year, 3 days a month, 2 gush, all, etc., then he will progress. If not, he will retrogress. My dear brothers, these ishtimas are kept for that reason. The ishtima in Maritzburg, that's a month from today, which is the only ishtima that you have for the people of Natal. That's the only ishtima. There's no other ishtima. Before, we used to have the whole combined one for the whole country. But we had our ishtima in Nelspruit. We're talking of our ishtima means the Transvaal. We're looking at the whole of the Transvaal, Free State, Northern Cape. Although Northern Cape is part of Cape, but it's easier for us. I come from the Northern Cape. You must have heard of the holy city of Kimberley. In any case, I come from that area, so we are attached to Transvaal for practical purposes. It's easier for us. So we had our ishtima in Nelspruit now about a month ago. For Natal, there's only one ishtima. There is one in Cape Town in December, but that's for Eastern Western Cape. So there's ishtima in Maritzburg, which is not the first one. Maybe the 6th or the 7th ishtima, that's Maritzburg, in the 30, 40 years history since Bhaipadiya Ramtale, Allah Falish Kabarot Nur, since he started the effort. My dear brothers, iman, strong iman. Once iman is developed and strong, it is very, very easy to get onto the next quality, which is amal salihah. Usually the one follows the other. Strong iman will give rise to amal salihah, good deeds, good actions. And if the iman is weak, then automatically amal will not be good. Amal is saliha, good deeds that follows. So if you've got iman, we are 25% out of loss. And you have the amal is saliha, good deeds, and we're 50% out of loss. You're still in that loss, 50%. Until we have that third quality. So each one of us sitting here, and the whole ummah at large, should have four qualities. Third quality will be Tawasu bil haq. Invite one another towards haq. Invite one another towards truth. Tell the next person, whether you're an alim or you're a non-alim, even if you're not an alim. In fact, the chances are, if we have in this gathering, a person who works in a factory, person who's got a normal job, and maybe the boss is a non-Muslim, for you to tell your brother, or to tell another Muslim brother about Salat, might be easier than for me. Both of us can say it, but it might be more effective. I'm not saying the ulama, we can quote from Quran and Hadith and explain to that brother why he must make Salat. But you as a factory worker, ordinary job, and your boss is a non-Muslim, if you tell your Muslim brother to make Salat 5 times a day, it might be more effective. Because he'll tell you, but how can you make 5 times a day? You know, I'm working. Well, everybody's working. Nothing new.
Millions of Muslims are working and yet they make salat. He says, but you know, my boss is a non-Muslim. Arey bhai, the chances are, it's easier to ask a non-Muslim off for salat than to a Muslim in certain cases. Yes, yes. I know one person, Allah fully forgive him and fully kabur with Noor. He was not regular for Jummah himself and he did not allow his Muslim staff to go for Jummah. Astaghfirullah. You have such cases also. And then the bosses become muftis, you know. Now you can make qaza. Oh, they say Allah is Rahim and Kareem. Like in most of the airlines, many airlines, not an agent for any airline, I'm just saying, some of the Muslim airlines, where the hostess has become muftis, you can sit and make, can make without wuzu, you know. Allah is Rahim and Kareem, Allah is forgiving. You can make qaza. You know, Islam doesn't say you must make it difficult for other people. You know, we're going to pass through the trolleys, now we're going to serve meals. So all those things, they all give muftis. They all become muftis, those hostesses. In any case, watawasu bil haq. So if a person says, I've got a non-Muslim boss, and I make salat during my lunch hour, I have make my zuhur during the tea break, I make my asr, or whatever the case may be, where there's a will, there's a way. To he na chahe to bahane hazar hai. Like they say, as Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah has written so many times in his kitab, to he na chahe to baate hazar hai. So, everyone should give dawat and tell the next person. But of course, we should do it very nicely. We mustn't be crude, harsh. You must not insult the person. We mustn't embarrass the person. We must not have a superior than thou attitude. No. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I give dawat, but I say, I'm an ordinary Muslim. I'm also trying, making effort to go to Jannat. I cannot guarantee it. Inshallah, I'm also trying. You also try. That's all. We cannot have a superiority complex. That's very important. We can give dawat, my dear brothers. There's about 15 words like that, you know, nicely, softly, sweetly, kindly, beautifully, properly, compassionately, wisely. It's about 15 words. One day I was sitting doing nothing. I just made a list of all those synonyms, you know. You can do it. Hikmah, like they say, with wisdom. And watawasu bis sabr. My dear brothers, in the process of giving dawah, when you're going to invite the next person, you automatically become unpopular. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the most popular person, a sadiqul amin. But when he gave dawah, the people turned against him. He became unpopular. He became unpopular. And they started hurling abuses. And then they started hurting him and what? So when you start giving dawah, you maybe go for 40 days, 4 months, or you start doing gasht. Then, there was a time when people used to bang the door and, you know, throw stones at the people, but much less of that. Now it's more like, you know, what they say, not physical abuse, what they call it, verbal abuse, you know. Like, say, oh, you, first of all, your friend is going to tell you, man, we used to mess about together. You remember we used to run around together. You come to make tabligh now. Remember the times in our young days, astaghfirullah. He's referring to the days when he say, you know, before marriage you can do anything. After marriage, certain things you do, certain things you don't do. And then after Hajj, then you don't do anything. That's why the people, Allah knows best, in those days they used to delay Hajj for the last, you know, when you're old, so that after that then you can live a nice, clean life. You see? And now Allah shukr, thousands and thousands are going at a young age, knowing that Hajj is a turning point also. So when people, you know, make comments, your friends comments or something, and say, oh, you also brainwashed, eh? Hey, since when? My dear brothers, these are some of the remarks and comments sometimes you have to hear when you do this. But it's one of those things. Rasulullah had to go through the same thing. My dear brother, really speaking, with this ishtima coming, we know, we've heard before, this is not the first ishtima, mashallah, you people having ishtimas for the past 40 years now. From 1966 onwards, ishtimas are being kept. And Natal, the work started here, mashallah. Allah reward those people who have made sacrifice and those who have passed away. Allah fill their qabr with noor. They created that environment for which it became easy. I always tell my friends when I give a talk to the ulama, I tell them that most of you, ulama, are the direct or indirect products of tabligh. Yes, most of you. Either you went for 4 months, you decided to stay over and become an alim, or your father went and he decided to make his son now Hafiz, alim, qari, mufti. I say, I'm not one of them. No. In the 60s, I never heard of Tabligh Jamaat. You know, I'm a plus Japi, come from that area. So we never heard of this. And when I was studying in Binoni, 1966, I decided I'm going overseas to go and study, become an alim. Never heard of Tabligh Jamaat in my life. For 2 years after that also I didn't hear. Till only in 68 I came to hear about the Tabligh Jamaat. I decided I want to become an alim. And then when I saw these people and how they people operate and the modus operandi and how they... A lot of questions came to my mind. I had a lot of reservations, a lot of objections and questions in Ishkar like they say. Things I don't understand. Why this usul, why not that? And the ulama used to say, if you want to understand, you must go out and understand. So during my student days, I went out for 40 days. And after that, after I completed, went out for 1 year. I don't say I have a full understanding of the work, but I'm still learning. We're all learning. You learn till you die. Nobody knows everything. My dear brothers, respected elders, you know, when you go out, like I said, I also learned a lot of things when going out. When you go out and you see the ups and downs and how shaitan tries to take a person away. My dear brothers, there's a kitab by the name of Talbisa Iblis. How shaitan takes you away. For example, he makes you recite the Quran the whole night and you sleep just before Fajr. In this, this is a trick of shaitan that you read Quran, very great sawab, but you miss your Fajr salat. That's one of the tricks of shaitan. Like that, there are many, many written in your kitab, a whole kitab, Talbisa Iblis. My dear brother, shaitan tries to take a person away from doing this great effort. By different tricks, my dear brothers. Just tricks. Little excuses, little this, little that. For example, we tell a person to go out in the Jamaat, you know. Now 50, 60 old man, I'm asking, why don't you join us, you know, for 4 months or 40 days. He says, my grandmother is sick. The chances are, brother, if you, or uncle, let's put it as uncle. If your grandmother is still alive at this age, she definitely will be sick. You understand? So it's just an excuse, like, you understand? It's like, you know, Mufti Mahmud Sahib, my ustad, and my sheikh also. Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh. Somebody wrote to him a question, you know, fatwa. It's like this, you know. You want certain things there. If you don't get it here, you go to that mufti, not that one, that one. Then in some remote area, you might meet a mufti, and he'll tell you what you want to hear, and you come back and say, hey. So this person wrote to Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, he says, the jamaats are coming, and they say, I must go for 40 days. And I haven't got money, what should I do? Allah Ta'ala fill his kabar with nur. My ustad, Allahu Akbar, what hikmat and wisdom he had. Grand mufti of the whole of India. He wrote in his reply, don't go for 40 days now because you haven't got money. Because he knows that we don't encourage sponsorship. Where the poor man wants to go and a rich man says, okay, I've got a box, I don't want to go. So let me give it to the poor man, he must go. We don't encourage sponsorship. Okay. So Mufti Muhammad Sahib Ramtlale wrote there, don't go now. But from now, start collecting money and putting money together for your 40 days. In the meantime, there's no harm if you can go for 3 days in neighboring localities. That man didn't want this answer. No. He didn't want that. He didn't want that. He wanted Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Mufti Azam says, no, finish. For the next 30, 50 years, any Jamaat come see, Mufti Sahib fatwa. My dear brothers, that same Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullahi, when we made Etikaf, I spent 6 years, many years in his khidmat, Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi also. But now Mufti Sahib in Newtown, in 1984, when he made khidmat, 1985, he was making Etikaf in Newtown. On a member he sat one day and he spoke about ibadat and how important it is to make ibadat and zikr and remember Allah Ta'ala in your young days. And what hadith did he quote? You know that hadith where one person decided I'm not going to sleep at night and whole night he makes tahajjud. It's a quite a famous hadith. There are two, three in the same subject, but this one where the person asks the wife, how's the, you know, husband? Oh, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. What a pious man. Whole night he makes ibadat. From the time you got married, every night, alhamdulillah, he makes ibadat. And every day he keeps roza. So then Rasulullah s.a.w. called him and says, come here. He says, Luzawjika alayka haq. Your wife has a right over you. Laaynika alayka haq. Your eyes have a right over you. You have to sleep also. Lajasadika alayka haq. You have to eat also. You can't just keep roza every day, you know. Now that's a nice hadith. What did Mufti Sahib use it for? He used it to prove, look at this young person, what spirit of ibadat and worship he had at that young age. He used it to prove that. But in any case, it's a hadith. Now people must be saying, hey, man, this is a nice hadith, man. Why did Tabligh guys hide this hadith away? Huh? Why did they mention this? This is our Maulana, this one here, who tells us this hadith, you know. But honestly speaking, my dear brothers, do we really need that hadith? Let's look at it now. Let's analyze. Your body needs has a right over you. You can't starve it. Allah shukr. You can see. MashaAllah, we've been fulfilling the rights of our body. I mean, you can see the man on a minbar. For years and years, we're fulfilling the rights of the body. We don't have to be told that. And talking of the eyes, my dear brother, sleep, Ya Allah. At the Fajr time, you wake your brother or your son or so, and you tell him, bye, Allah's got a right over you. Come, stand up, make Fajr namaz, bye. You understand? Not your eyes have a right over you. The man is sleeping 6 hours, 8 hours, maybe 9 hours, man. Now you don't tell him that hadith, you know what? For the man who's not sleeping, he's going off his head. That man, you tell him, bye, Abid Jarak, Huijab, put a bit of oil on his head and tell him now, sleep little, but you go off your, this thing. But the man, Fajr time, you must say, Allah has got the right over you. Come, make Fajr namaz. Now you don't tell him that hadith that your eyes got the right over you. And your wife has got the right over you. Allah shukr, we've got enough children to prove that we've been fulfilling the rights of our wives for years and years, mashallah. You know, I don't know now what the youngsters are saying. In our days, they used to say cheaper by the dozen. You understand? That's what they say. So Allah shukr, we are doing that. My dear brothers, like I say, if you want to go out in the path of Allah, my dear brothers, it's very, very easy. They say, where there's a will, there's a way. Tu hi na chahe, tu bahane hazar hai. If I don't want to do a thing, I'll find 1,000 excuses. And I say, what about this? What about that? What about that? My dear brothers, we have to stay away from haram. But my dear brothers, there have been cases. Okay, you get the odd case where the man goes for 4 months or 40 days. He goes for 40 days, he comes back, and he's back to his old habits. We can't help it. We tried our best. There was one person, I know him, I won't mention his name. He's from one part in South Africa, so that's not ghibat. He's from one town in South Africa. He spent 40 days with me. But then he went back to his old habits. He had a habit of gambling, horse racing, whatever. Allah forgive. And I used to meet him after that. I had meals at his place. I used to go and meet him. How are you? How's things? How about joining me? Trying my best, but at least for 40 days he was with me. At least he learned some things. One person asked Hazarji Maulana Amul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi. You know, one person went for 40 days when he came back. Now he's not making namaz. He doesn't make namaz. He said, make shukr at least for 40 days he made. That was an old habit. 40 years he wasn't making salat. At least for 40 days he made salat with jamaat. At least make shukr. And I use a wrong tactic. One of my friends in India, I told him, you know, if you come back from every year you go for 40 days. Now, you don't make fajr. So I used to wake him before fajr when I pass his house. Then when I come back, he's not awake, I wake him. Very quickly, make before sunrise or something. Then I have tea with tea. Good friends. Every time I tell him, every time I got, one day I got tired of it. I said, no man. But he tau choro. I told him, no. You know what, ne? You're giving a bad name to the Tabligh Jamaat. That time I wasn't actively involved with the Jamaat brothers. I hardly spent a chilla that time. Say, you're giving a bad name to the Tabligh Jamaat. You know that? Huh? Every day you go for 40 days, but when you come back, you're not regular Fajr. He says, Maulana, very good. What you are saying is very important. I've been thinking about this. That's why this year I'm not going for 40 days. So, you can't use those tactics. You know, that's got a negative effect. Rather, I should have just carried on telling him, bye, try make your fajr also, try make your fajr. My dear brothers, the point here is, my dear brothers, if you want to, it's easy. You know, if I had not spent time in the Jamaat, I'll end off on this example. Then, I would have just given a straightforward answer. That's why they say, when you must see what type of an answer you give. One person says, it's time for me to go for 40 days from the marriage. My intention is to go for 40 days. But my mother is sick, what must I do? Straightforward, I would have said, go in Jamaat. Make khidmat of your mother because Jannat lies under her feet and thus, and all the virtues. Quran, Hadith is filled with that. But no, I'm going to ask him. What's wrong with her? She's got a headache. Do you go to work? Yes. In weekends, you leave the wife, you leave your mother at home and you go for a drive with the family. Yes, that means she's not very, very sick. You must make a little tawakkul and you go in Jamaat. First scenario. Second scenario is this. My mother is very, very sick. I have to take off from the job to look after her. In that case, I say, don't you have brothers and sisters? Isn't it their mother also? 11 months you're looking after your mother. Can't they look after her for a month or two? No. Let them look after her for a month or two. You go in Jamaat. Second scenario. The third scenario is, I've got no brothers and sisters, my mother is very, very sick. In that case, we say, no. Now you look after your mother, make khidmat of her. When she gets well, then you go out in Jamaat. This is the situation. That is why, my dear brothers, let us try and make intention, inshallah, from the Ijtimai in Maritzburg. We've come, Transvaal Jamaat is here from Petersburg, and Lodium Jamaat, I'm with them, and we've come to try to make a little bit of effort, help. It's our Ijtima after all, it's still my Ijtima. That inshallah the success of the Ijtima in lying how many Jamaats go out. Let's make intention, inshallah we'll try to go out for 4 months and 40 days from the Ijtima. And the minimum, my dear brothers, is get to the Ijtima for those few days. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah.